We begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Chavav. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yamad. The Gemara continues with another teaching from Rav Nachman on this topic of Temet of our, the halacha of our previous Mishnah. That is the Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding contrasting in the topic itself. The Mishnah differentiated in Temet. Temet is a beverage, an alcoholic beverage, where they would pour water on top of grape seeds, and that would ferment and make this type of a wine type of a beverage. So the Mishnah said, if it didn't ferment yet, then it's like water and you can't purchase Meiser, you can't use your Meiser Sheni money to purchase that, because it has to be something of, it's a pre-mipri and geduli karka, so it would be considered like water, not wine. And additionally, it would invalidate a mikvah with Shlesha Lugin before the mem sub was filled, because it's considered water. But if it fermented, then we consider it like wine. So that our Gemara asks, seemingly our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda other Rabbanan, because we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Meisers that says, regarding Temed, that if the amount of water you put in, that's how much you take out, so the machlekes, the Rabbanan held, so then essentially it's water, and therefore it's exempt from Meiser. Yehuda says, no, you're going to be chayiv. So that our Gemara asks, so what's this, our Mishnah is differentiating between if it fermented or not? The Mishnah, the Masechtas Meisers, doesn't. So if it's like Rabbanan, so even if fermented, you should be pater, because the same exact that you put in, that's how much liquid you took out. And if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, then even if it didn't ferment, seemingly you should be chayiv. So that Rav Nachman had said, on the top of our Amid, that no, actually the machlekes in that Mishnah, in Masechtas Meisers, was only when it was fermented. I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, if it didn't ferment, then it's just water. If it fermented, that's where their machlekes is, and our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when it fermented, then even if it's kedei midase, how much you put in, that's how much liquid you took out, it's going to be considered as wine. That was that teaching of Rav Nachman, which is going to come back related soon. Now that continues the Gemara, v'amar Rav Nachman amar Rabbi Barvui, says another halacha, also on the same topic about temet and its fermentation. Temet shalakoche bekesa meisim. So someone has Meiser Sheni monies where he had his produce and he sold it and he brought it up to Yerushalayim where he takes those monies and he buys food items. Now, if he takes this and he purchases this temed with this Meiser Sheni money, and it wasn't fermented at that time, but later, subsequently, ends up fermenting and he has this good alcoholic wine type of a beverage, this temed drink. Says Rav Nachman, Koner Meiser, so the Meiser acquisition has been valid, meaning the one who has the money, who sold him this temet drink, go ahead and take that money and use it to buy things to eat out of Yerushalayim. Why? Because it was deconsecrated on the temet, which this guy had sold him, that temet drink. Because what essentially he's saying is, if it didn't ferment, then that money that the seller has would still be considered the Meiser Sheni money because it wasn't deconsecrated. On water, you can't use Meiser Sheni money for water. So, although at the time of the sale it was still water, but since ultimately it fermented, oh, so it's a valid, like a wine type of a drink, which is valid to be used to purchase with Meiser Sheni monies, and therefore it's valid. As Rav Nachman explains, says, my time, what's the reason? Because Igloi Milzul Mafreya, retroactively it's clarified and revealed that at the time of the purchase, the Peruhu, that it was wine, it was something that was related to a pre, because that means to say there was strength in the grape seeds that went into this liquid just at the time of the sale. It wasn't completed yet because it wasn't fermented yet. So it was like water, but it wasn't. And therefore, it was a valid chilo deconsecration because if it didn't have any essence in that grape seeds to create wine, then it would never have fermented. So that means to say it did do something at the time that the temet drink was created. It just wasn't completed, so it wasn't fermented. But since it's there, even though it wasn't fermented at the time, it was a valid deconsecration. It was considered a pre-like wine, and therefore it's valid. And that is the Gemara, but Ela Masnitin, this takes us back to the Halacha of our Mishnah again. But then our Mishnah, Diktoni Hichmetz In, our Mishnah said that when could you use Temed in the purchasing of Meiser Sheni money? It said, if it fermented. But if it didn't ferment, then you can't purchase it with Meiser Sheni money, which sounds like that it's not a purchase at all. And that means to say the monies that were used, that was given to the seller, is still sanctified. It wasn't deconsecrated onto the temet drink. Why? Based on what you're saying, Rav Nachman, Dilma maybe Ishavke Havamachmet. Maybe if he would have left it, right now it's not fermented yet. So the Mishnah say, oh, so that says not valid. Why? Maybe if he would have left it, it would have fermented. And therefore, if let's say it's not around anymore in front of us, we should go based on the laws of majority. We should say, the majority of cases, when you take grape seeds and you soak it with water, they ferment. Now, the problem is from the fact that our Mishnah says that, no, it's not a valid sale, and therefore it's invalid. Obviously, it's telling us that as long as it has not fermented, even though very likely, because you go based on the laws of majority, it will ferment, but at that time, at the deconsecration, at that sale, it's not a pri, and therefore it's not a valid chil. That refutes what Rav Nachman said, that if later on it ferments, oh, that shows retroactively that it was a valid sale for Maisa Sheni as a chil, and you see in our Mishnah not like that. So Amar Rabbi says, no, it's not difficult for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about kishashayir mimenu, when the seller left over from that temed bekais in a cup, v'loy hechmetz, and it didn't ferment. So he knows it was from that type. But you're right. If it wouldn't be in front of us, we would go based on the laws of majority, and actually, then it would have, like the way of Nachman said, and it would have been a valid chil. Our Mishnah that says that if it was, at the time that you purchased it, it was not fermented, it's not valid, is tomat because we held on to the sample, and we saw it never fermented. And that's why it's not a good chil. Another approach, Rav Amar, he says, no, it's not difficult on Rav Nachman. Because Hamani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, that yes, is telling us that if it didn't ferment yet, then it's going to invalidate the mikvah. We're going to consider it as water and the other halacha, that you're not going to be able to purchase it with Maaser Sheni monies, even though Rav Nachman is correct that it is a pri. We're not refuting Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's logic is correct. That it, since ultimately it's going to ferment, obviously something is happening over here. It is considered wine. It's just not finished yet. So then how's the understanding of our Mishnah? And if Rav Nachman's correct, why does our Mishnah say that if you purchase it before it fermented, that it's not a valid chil? Because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yechinen ben Nurihi, that he doesn't go based on that criterion. He goes based on what's called chazusa, on the appearance. As we're going to see, he says that if there's a quarter, which is a small measurement of milk, that completes three lugan of to make for water, to supplement water, that would invalidate the mikvah. Why? Because even though it's not three lugan of water, which is the minimum measurement of invalidating a mikvah, if it doesn't have 40 saw of mayim of rainwater or of spring water, that because it has the appearance of water. So here also says Rava an explanation that in our Mishnah, even though yes, Rav Nachman is correct that it is a pri. And the thing is, but until it ferments, since the appearance is that of water, that's why it's going to invalidate the mikvah. And so it's regarding Meiser. Since the appearance and the taste is water, that's why you can't purchase it. However, that's not difficult on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman that says that you go based on what it's going to be at the end is like Drabbanan, as we're going to quote shortly, that they say that if you have a quarter of milk, that does not supplement the remaining amount of water to invalidate the mikvah, and therefore, even though the appearance is that of water, it doesn't make a difference, because we don't go based on appearance. Here also, even though the appearance of the temed drink is that of water, since it is a pri, it's not going to validate the mikvah, and also one could purchase it with Meister money. Again, if it does ultimately end up fermenting and becoming the temed drink, it is a valid chil. Did not like learn the Mishnah Maseftes Mikvahs, this machlaikis, which again will answer the question, it's not difficult on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman's like Drabbanan, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yechim ben Nuri. What's this Mishnah? The Mishnah Mikvahs says, Gimel Lugan Mayim. If there's three Lugan, which are certain measurements of water, which is the minimum amount, if that amount falls into a mikveh and invalidates it, if there wasn't yet the shear of what a mikveh has to have, which is 40 sa. Now there's contention regarding the next two words, if there is such a girsa, where initially we're going to explain it actually as if we didn't have these two words in Rashi, that ultimately Rashi, as we're going to explain, his preferred explanation is that you do have this girsa, which is the words chasa kartiv, that is actually, we're not talking about that there's three lugan of water. It's three lugan minus a kartiv. But for now, we're going to explain it as if there is three lugan of water. But besides that three lugan of water, additionally, it fell into it a kurtiv of wine. Now, umarein kemarayin. Now, the wine has a strong red color. It gives it the color like wine. And then, menafala mikveh falls into the mikveh. On that says the Mishnah, loy paslu, it does not invalidate the mikveh. Because again, as we're explaining, according to the initial understanding of Rashi, without the words chasa kartiv, that even though there's three complete lugan of water, since the appearance is that of wine, it's not going to validate it. It's not going to be a problem. Now, continues the Mishnah. Let's say there's gimel lugan mayim chasa kartiv. Here, everyone agrees that you have that in the girsa. If there's three lugan of water minus a kartiv, so it's not three lugan of water yet. But shenafal etechon kortiv chalav, and then it falls into it a kortiv of milk, where milk does not change the color of the water. It's not going to override it like wine would. And therefore, Marein Kamari Mayim, the appearance of this three lugan now looks like water. Now, however, since it doesn't have the measurement of water, because it wasn't three lugan of water, the milk supplemented it, and Benafel Mikveh falls into the Mikveh, so Loi Paslu is not going to invalidate it. The reason is because the Tanakama, who according up until now, the Rabbanon, they require two things to invalidate a Mikveh: the appearance of water and the measurement of water. So in the first case, you didn't have the appearance of water. So although you had the measurement of water of three lugan, it's not going to validate. And the second halacha is the other element, where although it had the appearance of water, it didn't have the measurement of water. So therefore, in these two cases, it's not going to be invalid. Now, Rabbi Yechim Nuri Oimer, he disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says, Hakol hoylech achamar. Everything goes after the appearance. And therefore, he says to the Tanakama, just like in your first case that you went based on the appearance and you said it's not going to be invalid because it has the appearance of wine. So he says, the second case also that you said, you also go after the appearance. And to the contrary, even though you don't even have three lugan of water, it's just it's two lugan with more and a cart of wine that makes it, of milk. But since it has the appearance of water, so he says that it's going to be possible. That's the machlokes in that Mishnah. That concludes Rava, who he wants to explain that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. He says, Lav Amar Rabbi Yechinan. Doesn't Rabbi Yechinan say, Basachazu Sazlinan, that when we look at something, the way we qualify it is based on the appearance. So Hachanami here also, by this temid drink, until it doesn't ferment, even though ultimately it's going to ferment, but right now, yeah, it's a pre, because it's going to ferment, like Rav Nachman said, but Zil Basachazusa, you have to go based on the appearance. The time of a chazusa dahai, and the taste and the appearance of this tamid drink, because it didn't ferment yet, although essentially Rav Nachman's right that it is a pre because it's going to ferment, but right now the appearance is one of mayanenu, it's that of water, since that's the appearance, and therefore it would invalidate a mikvah, and it cannot be used to purchase with the kes of maisa, with the maisa sheni monies. Now, that's our Mishnah. But Rav Nachman himself is not difficult because he's like Drabbanan, where although the appearance is one of water, it's not going to be invalid because they hold, let's say, to invalidate the mikveh, you need to have both things. It has to have the measurement of water and the appearance of water. And regarding Maisa, you could use it to purchase because the primary thing that deters particularly is that it's a pre. Like we said, it has a pre-mipri and geduli karka, and this is a pre. And therefore, since here you don't need both things, all you need to have is that it's a pre, therefore you could purchase. So again, Rav Nachman works out because he's like Drabbanan, but our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, who goes based on appearance, and therefore, even if it's going to ferment, and it's halachically like a pre, doesn't make a difference, the appearance is one of water, and therefore it would have the qualification as water. Now, but as we mentioned before, that's the initial interpretation of Rashi. But Rashi has an obvious difficulty with this, and that he says because the way his girsa is, without having the words chasa karta for the first case, the resha of the Tanakama sounds like that you go based on appearance. Because even though you have three lugan of water, but if you don't have the words chasa karta, but since you have wine in there that gives the appearance of wine, so he says it's not going to be possible. The problem is the second case sounds like you don't go based on appearance because, what do you mean? Do you go based on appearance or not? It's saying that you have of water, and then you have that of milk. So although you don't have a measurement of water, but it has the appearance of water, so it should be possible. So how do you understand these two halachas of the Tanakama that both are not possible? So now Rashi says, as our girsa is in the Gemara, is that actually Rava has the girsa in the first case of chaser kartev. It actually wasn't three lugan of water. It's three lugan minus the kartev. Now, since it doesn't have the measurement of three lugan of water, that's what Tanakama says, it's not going to be possible. But you're right, if it had three complete lugan of water, even if the appearance was one of wine, it would be possible, because the Rabbanan, to the contrary, the way Rashi is explaining it now, they actually don't care at all about the appearance. And therefore, now we could understand the halacha. So Rav Nachman, that goes based on what is going to be at the end, even though right now has the appearance of water, he says, like the Tanakhama, that we never go based on appearance. Now, Rava, however, says that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yechon and Ben Nuri. And that's actually how the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Seftas Makis, according to Rava, that the girsa of the first case, according to him, is with the words chasa karta. And therefore it comes out that the Tanakama really is doing what's called loizu avzu. He's saying, not only this case are we going to say it's not possible, because it didn't even have a measurement of three lugan of water, and it doesn't have the color of water, because wine. That's what he says. In the next case, I'll tell you even a bigger chiddush, that, yeah, since there's no measurement, even if it has the appearance of water, because milk looks like the water, it's still not going to be possible. On that, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, he actually disagrees on both cases. He even disagrees on the resha. And he's coming to say that even if there's three complete lugan of water, but if the appearance is the appearance of wine, it's not going to be possible. Because again, he goes based on appearances. And therefore, he's even more lenient there in the case of the resha. And whereas in the case, the next case, in the Seifa, he says that even if there's not three complete lugan of water, since it has the appearance of water, it's going to be possible. But that's one thing, is that that's the second approach that the Gemara brings to resolve Rav Nachman, where, what I mean, our Mishnah seems to be not like his halacha. So either it's that, like Rabbi says that, okay, they left over a sample and they saw it didn't ferment. So if it didn't ferment, yeah, of course it's going to be like water. Or it says, no, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Menuri, who, although Rav Nachman's correct in his concept, which is like the Rabbanan, that if it's going to ferment, then we will consider it as temed, and therefore it's a valid chil, like his halacha was said. However, our Mishnah, like Rabbi Menuri, he says, doesn't go based on that it's a pre, we go based on its appearance, and right now the appearance is one of water, and therefore it's not a valid chil. Now, says the Gemara, going back to the Rav Nachman of the previous daf, which was qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah, says the Gemara, Upliga, this teaching that Rav Nachman had previously said that our machlekes in our Mishnah, which we opened up when we started the daf, that says that the machlekes in the Mishnah Masechtas Maestras between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham was when let's say you put in a certain amount of water, and that's exactly the amount you take out. So the Chacham said, okay, so it's just water because you didn't get anything even out of the seeds. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayiv. On that said, Rav Nachman, that's only when it's fermented. And therefore he explained that the halacha of our Mishnah differentiates if it didn't ferment or did, is like a Yehuda. And it's like him that says when it fermented, then even if you get at the same amount, it's going to be considered like wine. That disagrees the Rebbe Lazar. That disagrees with Rebbe Lazar, and therefore he would have a different qualification than the halacha of a Mishnah. He would say it's actually like the Rabban. Because the Amar Belazar, he says, Hakol Maidim. Everyone agrees, even Rebbe Yehuda, She'im Afrishna Lav Mimakam Acher, that we cannot go ahead, although there's halacha, like we're saying, that when it was mechametz, when it was fermented, so it's like wine, so you have to take off meisers. On that says Rabbi Lazar, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you cannot go ahead and take off maestras from some other temed drink for this temed drink, elam kein hechmetz, unless if this temed drink had already fermented, and then he's coming to be masakin it and separate maestras from somewhere else, only then could he do that. Now, from the fact Rabbi Lazar says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot separate maestras from some other temed drink on this one, the obvious inference is that kisavr that he holds, that obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are going to be chayiv in maestras even if it didn't ferment. And that Rabbi Lazar is coming to tell us that the ad kam l'mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda, but even Rabbi Yehuda, this that he says that you're going to be chayiv in maestras, that even though it didn't ferment, is elimineu bay. It's only from this temed drink itself. Al mi'alma, but from somewhere else, even a temed drink that's just like this, that didn't ferment, that loy, then you can't do that. And that's what he's saying. Everyone agrees that if it didn't ferment, which is trying to tell you, even Rabbi Yehuda holds you are chayiv if it didn't ferment, you can't take it from some other temed drink. It has to be from this drink itself. What's the reason? Why? They both didn't ferment. Shouldn't they both be in the same category? No. Because Dilma, maybe this one is going to ferment and become a pri, and maybe this one's not going to ferment and not become a pri. And therefore, what you might run into is either asil afrusha min achiv alapato, you might be separating from something that is obligated on something that's not, or uminapat al-chiv, or from something that's exempt, on something that is obligated. Where, when someone separates from a temed drink that's pater, and why is that pater? Because maybe it's never going to ferment, so therefore it's always water. On something that's chayiv, why is that one chayiv? Because it ultimately will ferment and be considered as wine. If he does from pater al-chiv, it comes out that actually he's eating tevel, untithed wine. Because there is no designation of meiser that's going to take effect on what he had separated from that other thing, because that other thing that he was taking meiser from is not something that's obligated meiser, because that's like water. So it comes that he never fixed this thing that he's separating for. And the flip side, when someone separates from something that is chayiv on pater, he's giving the kayin tevel to eat, because there's no shame truma that takes effect on that, what he's separating, because since on what he's separating for doesn't need it, because that's pater, so it comes out that what he's taking from is actually never becoming truma, so it's tevel itself, and he's giving the kain for nothing because it's not taking effect as truma, because what truma only takes effect on something else, and that something else here in that case is pater, and tevel is punishable by death even for the kain, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. So therefore, because of that, says Rabbi Lazar, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree, you got to take it from this thing itself because one might ferment and one might not. But one thing you see is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are chayiv even if it didn't ferment, not like Rav Nachman. Therefore, he would interpret the Mishnah in a very different way. He would say that actually the halacha of a Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, and that the Rabban agree that when it did ferment, even if you get back exactly what you put in, that then you would be chayiv meiser. And their machlokes, the Rabban was saying not, is before it ferments, and Rabbi Yehuda was saying that even before it ferments, you are going to be chayiv. And again, that's what he was saying, that even he would agree, however, Rabbi Yehuda, that when you are separating Maisa before it ferments, only from it itself, but not from somewhere else on this. Now, the Gemara continues a related discussion on this idea regarding Temed and regarding its fermentation process. Tanabam Lina Braisa. Hatemed Achle Hechmetz. This Temed drink, if it didn't ferment yet, says we've been qualifying this all along, so we're still considering it as water on some level. Says the Ketim Tamed Beis, Mashiki Bemaim. If that Temed drink had become Tame, since we consider it as just water, you could do Hashaka, which I'm going to shortly explain, by having this drink kiss the waters of the mikvah, and thus purifying it. But Meshehechmetz, if already fermented, in Mashika B'mayim, then you cannot do this Hashaka anymore, because once it fermented, we said we're considering it as wine already. And the idea is because vessels or a person, the halacha is that they can purify themselves by immersing in the mikvah. But regarding food items and beverages, there is no such halacha of immersing it in the mikvah. Now, the one exception is water that could be purified with what's called Hashaka. Meaning, let's say someone has good water, good drinking water and became tummy. So what he could do is he puts it into a vessel, and he has it kiss the mikvah waters until it's touching, which is called hashaka. That's a connection, as if those waters are connected to the mikvah, and they're like nullified. They're already considered part of the mikvah, and the mikvah is not tummy. Essentially, it's like produce that became tummy, where if you go ahead and you plant it in the ground, it becomes nullified, it becomes decomposes and becomes part of the ground, and it loses its tumah and becomes tar, as the Gemara explains in Pesachim Daf Lamed Dal Manalf. That's the same idea of Ashaka, of this water, becomes like part of the water and it becomes purified. In contrast, but to put wine in the water, that's not planting, because you're not nullifying the taste, and therefore that wouldn't apply for Ashaka. So this tamid drink that becomes tummy, if before it fermented, then you can do Ashaka, afterwards you cannot do it. Now, this halacha, Maravi qualifies, says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that you could do this hashaka on the water. Elisha temadli b'mayim tahayrim v'nitfmu. So we're saying this temed drink is tamei. So he says you only could do it if, when you initially had made the temed drink, you had pure water and you had been soaking it in the grape seeds, and then subsequently became tamei. That's when you could do this hashaka. Avatamei mikara loy. But if you had done the hashaka, if you had done the ferment, if you had poured the water onto the grape seeds with initially tummy waters, then you can't go ahead and do hashaka with that temed beverage even before it's fermented. As Tais explains, that the assumption of Rava is because that when it had initially become tummy, it was the water that became tummy because it was even before it was put onto the grape seeds, then you cannot do hashaka unless you're doing it in water itself. And now once it's already a mixed beverage with this temed essence, with the grape seed essence with the water, it's already too late. It's a different beverage, and you can't do hashaka anymore. That's Rav's understanding. However, also Rav Gavir from Beit Kassel, he went and Amr L'Shmaita, he said over this teaching, in other words, this understanding of this Tanoic text, he was asking Kamei de Rav Ashi, in front of Rav Ashi, and he said to him, this is Rav Gavir asking on this, and he says, and he was really coming from a different logic, as the Mefarshim explained, than Rava, and therefore he comes to a different conclusion. He says, Maishno Temei Mikar Deloi. What would be the difference that if the water was initially tummy before you even put onto the grape seeds, that the halacha would be, as Rava is saying, that no, you wouldn't be able to do hashaka? Why would that be? The Amina, because we say, I did the Maya Kira, since the water is heavy, so Shachni Tatoi. So that weighs down on the bottom of that beverage. Upeira Kafim Ale'el. Whereas the pre part, the wine part, that floats to the top. Now, that's why you're saying, that's why Hashaka wouldn't work for the water, because the water's not touching, it's not kissing the waters. It's the wine liquid on the top that's touching, and then we said wine cannot do Hashaka. But in that, as Rav Gavia, so Yachi Tarim L'Besayv Nitmunamis, then what's the difference? Even if it was initially tar, and only later it became tummy as a temed beverage, who cares? There also, the wine's going to flow to the top, the liquid's going to be in the bottom, and you're not going to have the water doing hashaka with the water that's in the mikvah, so it shouldn't work. Ella, rather, obviously, mevalfali, obviously, because it all mixes together, the water and the wine of the temet all mixes together, and therefore hashaka is going to work, because, yeah, it's going to be touching not just the wine, but the water too. So therefore he disagrees with what Rabbi said, and he says, even if it became tummy initially by itself, the water is going to be touching it anyway, even though it's mixed in the liquid. The water is not going to be only on the bottom. So no, either way, it's going to be doing hashaka, and therefore he doesn't differentiate. It says, even if it was tummy meikara, hashaka is going to work on this temed drink before it fermented, before it was mechametz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Can continue the theme of the previous Mishnah is regarding in one thing itself, different times, different periods, you'll have one in contrast and exclusive to the other thing. As the Mishnah says, Kol mokem sheyesh mecher, anywhere where there's a sale, meaning as long as the man's daughter is a minor, her father merits to sell her as a maidservant. At that point, when there's sale, ein kanas. Then there's no monetary gain of a penalty. Meaning if his daughter was raped or seduced, the father doesn't get what it says in the Torah, chamishim kesef, the 50 silver coins. Because at the second Devarim Chavbeis, when it talks about that parasha of Oinus HaMafata, it calls the girl a nara, which is a girl from 12, approximately 12 and a half. And it says, like it says, v'nosna isha sheicha b'malavi hanara chamishim kesef. So if the father still has sale rights in his daughter, that means she's a minor, then obviously if she gets seduced or violated, that he's not going to get knas money because she's a minor and she's not a naira. And so to b'chamokim shesh knas, wherever he would get knas money, which because she's a naira already, so then, ein mecher, then there wouldn't be a sale. Because as the Gemara says in the Brayis in the Erech and Chavtes Mabez, you would think a person could sell his daughter even when she's a naira, even when she reached puberty. On that you say, Kavachayim, no. If she's already sold, the halacha, it says in the Torah, she goes out when she shows signs of puberty. So then, if she's not sold at all, of course you can't sell her anymore. And therefore, this is the exclusivity of one and the other of Knas and Mecher. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, the Gemara quotes that a qualification of the halacha of a Mishnah is Zudivir Meir. This is the opinion of a mayor, who he says that yes, a minor who gets raped or violated doesn't get a knas. But the Chacham say, no, you could have knas monies for the father at the same time that he has rights to sell her, because they hold that a minor does get knas monies. Now, the reason for that is, although the Torah says Nara, so the Gemara Ksubitz of Memembeis says, wherever it says Nara without a hay, rather Nun Ayin Reish, it's including even a minor, and therefore there will be Knas money even if she's under the age of 12. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Ketana mibas yoim echad at shetavi beis iris, a minor, a little girl from when she's one day old until she brings two pubic hairs. Yesh la mecher, the father could sell her as a maidservant, but ve'ein la knas. If she gets violated, he doesn't get Knas money. Now, mishetavi beis iris at shetibaga, when she brings two pubic hairs until she becomes a begaris, which is a period of 6 months later, yesh la knas ve'ein la mecher, which is the halacha of a Mishnah, that then if she gets violated, the father gets that 50 shkalim, but he can't sell her at that time. That's Dibre Meir. Shahir Meir Imre, as we learned. Now Mishnah, Kamakim Shesh Mecha in Knas, whether you can sell her, she's a minor, then you don't get Knas money. Kamakim Shesh Knas, whenever you get Knas money, which when she's a Naira, in Mecha, then you can't sell her. But Vachachamayim, they disagree. They say, Ketanami Bas Gimel Shalom Yemechad, a little girl, when she's at least 3 years and 1 day old, which is the age of when she's already fit for cohabitation, that actually bugger until she becomes a begaris, which is approximately like 12 and a half, then yesh la knas. And if she gets violated, she gets a knas. It's not only in the age of, let's say, 12 to 12 and a half, but if it's even from 3 years and 1 day old, that the chum hold that there is going to be knas at that point. Now the Gemara asks, knas in mechalai? There's only going to be knas at that age and not sale, but she's a minor until she brings shtei sairis, until she brings two bibukis. Emma says the Gemara, no. What they're saying is af knas. She's even going to have knas, b'mokem mecher, even though that's an age, unlike Remeir, that she could be sold. Because they hold that even in the age of when she's fit for bia, which is from age 3, until she brings two pubic hairs, which is our ages that she's fit to be sold, even so, that's going to be also an age, according to the Chacham, not like Remeir, that she'll get a knas. Now, but before age 3, then she could be sold from 1 day old, but there's no knas then, even according to the Chacham. Additionally, when she brings two pubic hairs, let's say at age 12, until she becomes a begaris, then they'll agree that there's knas and not a sale, because like we said, between bagris and naris is this period of 6 months, and that's the three different stages. From 0 to 3 is only sale, no knas. According to Chacham, from 3 till 12, there's going to be both mecher and knas. And from 12 to 12 and a half is going to be only knas and no mecher. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the same theme. Kamakam shiesh miyun. Any time, anywhere where there is miyun, what that refers to is when there's a minor girl who her father passed away and her mother or her brother goes and marries her off to a man, even if she was willing. The halacha is she could do what's called miyun, which is refusal, and she could leave that marriage even without a get, and that could be done until she brings two pubic hairs, until she becomes a nara. Now, that's what the Mishnah is saying. As long as she could do miyun, which is when she's still a minor, then in chalitza, then there wouldn't be appropriate to ever do chalitza, which is if, let's say, her husband dies without any children, so she becomes a yevama, then there's not going to be a halacha of chalitza. Why? Because in the parasha of Yibim Chalitza, it says the word ish. That is, if the man doesn't want to do yibum, he does chalitza. And the Gemara elsewhere compares the isha to the ish, just like the man, the yavam has to be an adult, so too the yavama has to be an adult, and if not, there's no chalitza. So if you're doing, if it's an isha, she can do min, which is she's a minor, then there's no chalitza. And if she can do chalitza, then ain't min, then obviously she cannot do min because she's already over that age. Here too, as in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi says, Zudiv Remeir. Lachav Mishnah is like Remeir, who he says that a girl that's a Naira, when she's over the age of 12, she can't do Min anymore, which is the age when she can start doing Chalitza. Avachachamayim, the sages say, Yesh Min b'makam Chalitza. There's a time when, even though you could do Chalitza, you could do Min, because they hold, even if she's a Naira, she can still do Min. And who's this Chacham that we're saying disagrees with Lachav Mishnah? That's Rabbi Yehuda, the time like learned the Braisa. Until what age could a daughter, could a girl, do miyun? On that, the first opinion says, says, as in the halacha of a Mishnah, until she brings two baby kids. So therefore, the age of when you finish miyun is the age when you start doing chalitza, they're not at the same time. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, he says, no, until you have more black than white over there that it covers over the pubic region, That's obviously at a later stage. It's not just 2 years. Now, actually, the Gemara in Sechtas Nida, Daf Nun Beis Ma Beis, explains, doesn't really mean that there's more black than white over there. It just means that you have 2 hairs that are very long when it lays down, so then it looks like as if there's more black than white, but it's still a later stage than Remeir, and therefore it's possible to have a time when that she's a Naira, that is when she could do Chalitza already, and she could still do Min. Gemara continues with the final Mishnah of this theme of the previous Mishnayos, that says, Kamokim Shiesh Tekiyah. Any time when there's going to be a blowing of the trumpet, of the shofar, which is on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, which is that they blow on the shofar to have the people understand they have to stop doing work, and they would blow it by right by twilight time to separate between the mundane weekday and the holy Shabbos and Yom Tov day that's coming in. So if they're doing a tekiyah, then in Havdalah, they're not doing the Havdalah procedure by Ma'ariv and by on the cup of Havdalah, of separation from the holy day that it just was up until now, and moving into the next day. Now, on the flip side, v'chomakim shesh Havdalah, whenever there is the Havdalah procedure, by davening and by the on the cup of wine, which is after Shabbos is over and after Yom Tov, then v'loy taken, then you're not going to be blowing the shofar for the incoming holy day. As the Mishnah explains, that we said that ain't tekiyah, then there's not going to be a tekiyah. What are these cases? So the Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shechalis B'Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos. Let's say Friday is Yom Tov, coming into Shabbos. So then the halacha is, Toikin, then you're going to blow the shofar. Meaning, even though today was Yom Tov and you weren't able to do most malachas, still you go ahead and you make a tekiyah because you were able to do malachas of Eichel Nefesh. You're able to cook, you're able to do different malachas. So you have to make a separation and say that you have to stop doing malachas. Because even though most malachas you weren't doing, but you were doing some, and now you're going to Shabbos, which you cannot do any, so they would blow the shofar. But v'lei mavdilin, they wouldn't make havdalah as a separation, because what do you mean? Don't you make havdalah when you're leaving a sanctified day, which you're leaving Yom Tov? Yeah, because here the day that you're going into is more severe and more stringent than the day that you're leaving. So havdalah is only when you have to hold on to something and let it not go in. Here you're actually going even higher levels, so there's no havdalah. Now, let's say Yom Tov falls out to be b'matzah Shabbos, after Shabbos. So the halacha is, mavdilin, you make havdalah, because the day that you're leaving is more stringent than the day that you're going into, and v'loy tekiyah, and then you're not going to blow the shofar, because that's only to stop malacha. To the contrary, actually permitted to do more malacha now, going into Yom Tov. Now says the Mishnah, kitzad mavdilin, how do you make havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Tov? When Yom Tov falls out on matzah Shabbos, how do we make the text of the havdalah? So the Tanakh Kama says, hamadol ben kodesh l'kodesh. We say, we bless Hashem who separates between the holy and the holy. Because really, both are holy, but it's still a separation. You're leaving a higher level of holiness to a lower. So it's he who separates between holiness and holiness. Reb Daisaimer, he says, the text is ben kodesh chom l'kodesh akal, between the severe sanctity and the lesser sanctity. So though they're both holy, but that the text is from kodesh chom l'kodesh akal. Now says the Gemara, hecha tekeya. How do we blow on a Yom Tov that's on Friday, it's an Erev Shabbos, when we're blowing to separate between, so to speak, mundane, which is Yom Tov, and the holy? You have to separate how you blow on a regular Erev Shabbos on Friday, because here the sanctity that you're going from and into is not such a big difference as you usually go from a weekday to a Shabbos. Weekday, all malachas, Shabbos, no malachas. Here you're going from a Yom Tov to a Shabbos, so how do you blow? You have to blow a little bit differently so that people understand it's not the same type of a differentiation. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the way you do it is tekeya, you blow, umariya mitech tekeya, and you blow a teruah, which is a different type of a blow, shorter blast, from the tekiah, meaning before you finish the tekiah, you make a trua at the end. Rav Asiyam, he says, what you do is tekiah mariba neshima achas. You blow a tekiah and the trua in one breath. But however, you make a small stop in between, but it should be in one breath, so you go tekiah, one long blast, and then you do the short blast, this trua. And moreover, asking Rav Asiyam Hutzel Kashmaite, Rav Asiyam instituted in this place Hutzel, like his teaching, which is that you don't do a regular tekiah, you do a tekiah, and then you wait a little bit, but in the same breath, you make a trua. And that is the Gemara on both interpretations. Meisvei, we learned in the Brisa, it says Yom Tov Shechalis Be'er Shabbos. A Yom Tov that is on Friday. The halacha is going into Shabbos. Toikin v'loy marin. You blow a tekiah and you don't make a trua. My love loy marin klal. Isn't that you don't make a trua at all? Which is not either one of the interpretations that we said to differentiate that we do a trua depending on that, you know, how they do it. They said it differently. Says the Gemara, loy. No. Rabbi Yehuda Mitaris L'Tameh. He answers according to his explanation. Rabbi Asiyah Mitaris L'Tameh. He answers according to his explanation. As the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda Mitaris L'Tameh, he answers according to his reasoning. When it says loy marin bifnei atzma, when it says you don't make a trua, it means you don't make only a trua. Ela metech tekiah, rather from the tekiah, meaning at the end of the tekiah, you make a trua, but you don't only make a trua, but you're going to make a trua. And Rav Asiyah Mitaris L'Tameh, he explains according to his reasoning that loy marin, what does it mean you don't make a trua b'shtei neshimas in two different breaths? Ela b'neshima achas, rather in the same breath. And again, that's how we differentiate between a regular weekday going to Shabbos and the Yom Tov going into Shabbos. You do a trua, but not, again, either in two breaths or by itself. Now, the Mishnah had said that it would matzah Shabbos v'chulu, that on matzah Shabbos going into Yom Tov, that if Yom Tov is on Sunday, then we're going to make Havdalah, and we had a machlekes regarding what the wording is, ben kodesh l'kodesh or ben kodesh chomer l'kodesh hakal. So says the Gemara, but heicha amarla, where exactly do we say the words when we're making Havdalah, ben kodesh l'kodesh? Because usually we say ben kodesh l'chayil. This is we're saying ben kodesh l'kodesh. Where are we inserting these words? Some of you, he says, b'chasimasa, at the conclusion of the bracha of Havdalah, when you're saying the last words, baruch atah Hashem, hamavdil ben kodesh l'kodesh. But in the opening words, which we have a whole text beforehand, then you actually say the normal text that you say in the regular Matzah Shabbos, ben kodesh l'chayil. And that's what Rashi says, that's our custom. And mechinam Rav Nachman, b'chasimasa, only at the conclusion do you say ben kodesh l'chayil. But in the beginning, you say ben kodesh l'chayil. Now, but Rav Sheish Barid Rav Idiyam, he disagrees. He says, no, af b'psichasa. Even in the opening, you open up, you say, hama avdil ben kodesh l'kodesh, ben or l'chayshich, ben yisrael am, you go on, but you open up, ben kodesh l'kodesh. Says the Gemara, v'les hilchas ha-kabaseh, the halacha does not follow like him. The reason for this is because when we're opening up, we're counting all the different separations that it says in the Torah. And in the Torah, it only says the separation between holy and mundane. It doesn't say between kodesh l'kodesh. And therefore, we're not going to say in the beginning. At the end, we're going to say, because for this moment right now, it's been kodesh l'kodesh. But in the beginning, when we're talking about all the havdalahs in the Torah, we're going to say, hamavd ben kodesh l'chayil. Similarly, the Gemara says that we said in the Mishnah of Deisa Omer, he says, ben kodesh chamel l'kodesh akal, that we say between the holy holiness, the severe holiness, and the lenient holiness, which is between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, but let's say halacha does not follow like him either, because we don't want to be disgraceful to Yom Tov as if to call it the light, the lenient sanctity. So rather, we just say ben kodesh l'kodesh. Now, Amr Bzeri says Yom Tov shechalias be'emtzah Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out in the middle of a weekday, I mean, Yom Tov is on Monday, Tuesday, and then you're making Havdalah on Tuesday night. Even so, Omer hamavdil ben kodesh l'chayil. The text is he who separates between the holy and the mundane, ben er l'chayshah, between light and darkness, uvein yisrael amim, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, uvein yom shvi'i l'sheshet yemei ha'masa, between Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. Even though, what does Shabbos have to do with 6 days of the week? Everything else makes sense. It all pertains to Yom Tov too. Light and dark, Jewish and non-Jewish, holy mundane. But what does Shabbos have to do over here? My time, or what's the reason? Because as we said before, this idea that Seder Havdalis, it's the order of the separations that I mentioned in the Torah, that's humayna, that's what's being counted over here in the bracha, in the opening. Which is because in Vayikra it says, L'havdu ben kodesh, it says between holy and mundane. There's a pasuk that says in Bereishit, V'yavdu ben na'or v'nachayshach, he said between light and darkness. Another pasuk says, V'avdu eschem na'am li'isli, I separated you from all the nations to be for me. So we find these ideas in the Torah, and that's what we're counting. Now, Rashi points out, truth is, the idea uben yom shvi'i l'sheshet yemei ha'masa doesn't really say that in the Torah. That's the idea ben kodesh l'chayil that it does say in the Torah. But since we want to say an idea that's similar to the conclusion of the bracha, near the conclusion, which that's halacha, you have to have me'in chasim, masa. So therefore, that's why we mention benyemishvili sheshim yamasa, even though it's not one of those mentioned in the Torah. But again, that's why we keep that, because we're not saying what's right now pertinent for now. A matzah yamtiv in the middle of a weekday has nothing to do with Shabbos, but we're not talking about right now. We're talking about all the avdolos that Hashem did in the Torah, and that includes benyemishvili sheshim yamasa, which again, although it doesn't really say that, but that's the idea of ben kaidish lachayil. But we say shvi l'sheshim yamasa, because we want to say what's the same text that you say at the end of the Havdalah, which is the bracha itself, and that's why we're always going to keep that text, even if it's a Matzah Yom Tov in the middle of the week. I'll turn to you the first parak of Masechta Schulin, parak HaKol Sheichtin, which again, as the title of the parak, we're speaking about all the types of ways that are appropriate to do slaughtering, which then segued into other topics relating to slaughtering, when we differentiate between Shkita Malika, and then all other things that are mutually exclusive, that for one works and the other one doesn't work, and then as we ended off the last Mishnah, regarding things in it itself, different chapters, like a girl when she's this age, then you only have this and not that, and when she reaches the next stage, it's only that and not this.